It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thank you for tuning in this week here on KETR. You know, we've been doing this for over 3 years, every week, twice a week, talking about hunting and fishing. How would you like to be the person that killed the largest, highest-scoring whitetail, typical whitetail buck in the world? Well, I'll tell you what, our guest today is Mr. Milo Hansen up in Saskatchewan. And back in 93, Milo killed a buck, a whitetail buck up there that scores 213 and 5/8. Biggest free-ranging whitetail buck in the world. Milo, thank you, sir, for spending some time with us.
Good morning, Luke.
I am glad to get you on. I think you told me it's about 34 degrees Fahrenheit up there in Saskatchewan right now. That would be winter to us, to we Texans down here, you know.
I suppose, yeah. Yeah. I know it's starting to break up here and the snow's starting to melt away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Milo, that's something, that hunt, when you took that buck back in 93, I'm going to bet that it's as clear in your mind now as it was the day you shot that deer.
It is, yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'll forget everything else, but I'll probably still remember that.
and the thing is, you've killed another buck, too, over 170, I think, since then.
Yeah,
right?
In 1994, I shot another buck deer.
Yeah, wow. I've never killed a buck anywhere near that big. I've killed several pickup loads full of deer in my lifetime of hunting, but me and most people too, you know, they just don't come that big that often.
Not even here, you know.
Oh, even up there where the big ones grow. Well, Milo, tell us about the hunt. You know, I mean, I know your story, and I've visited with you a lot, but I bet our listeners would like for you to relive that hunt back in 93 with them, you know?
Sure, yeah, I can do that. So in 1993, during this summer before the school closed, the bus driver had actually seen that deer in Velvet, and he actually stopped with a load of kids on, and they looked at it, and then he started telling people about it. And then during our early season of muzzleloader, I never got out, but a friend of mine, Adam Ivashenko, got out, and he actually seen him. He couldn't get a shot at him, but he told me about it. So then we actually went hunting specifically for that deer that year, and actually one of our neighbor boys went out too looking for him, and he actually seen him Monday morning. And he got some shots at him and missed him. But actually, he actually had gotten married on Saturday. And before he went on his honeymoon, his sister had told him about she had seen his deer. So he postponed his honeymoon and went looking for this deer. And when he came back from his honeymoon, he had heard that I shot that deer. So he came over and looked at him and said, "Yeah, Milo, that's the deer I shot at." So anyway, we hunted that whole week. And we're rolling land here, about one-third of its low parts with willows and aspens. And we didn't have any fresh snow, hard tracking, you know, if you did see anything, and to track up on them. But actually, Walter Meager had seen him a couple times during that first week, and we tried to track up on him and lost his tracks. And then we couldn't hunt on Sundays then. We can now. Took Sunday off, and actually I took Monday off too because I had to catch up on some of my farm work. And then Monday night it started to turn cold and snow, so I phoned the guys and we agreed where to meet. John picked me up and we met Rennie and Walter at a spot, and we knew something was up because when he got up to him, their eyes were wide, and they said they'd just seen him with two does. He went down into this willow run, which is a fairly big willow run, probably 20 acres of willow run. So we formed a drive, and I was on the north side, Walter was on the west side, and John was on the east side. And Rennie walked him through, and, you know, most of the time we've hunted that bush quite a bit, and a lot of times they won't come out. They'll just stay in there and, you know, go around you. Mm-hmm. But he went out with his two does, and that's the first time I've seen him, and I just couldn't believe the size of him. Walter and John took shots, but long shots, and missed. he went into another area that they'd been heavily feeding over the night, and there was lots of tracks again. We lost him for a little bit, and by accident, we hit the bush he was in, and out he went. And this time, he went onto my land. We had to form another drive. And this time, he came out. And John and me were still standing side by side there when he came out. And we both shot at him, but we just couldn't believe the size of him. I think we were looking at his horns. So he went into the next bluff. We pushed him out again, and this time he came out my side. And I was lucky enough to hit him, but I just hit the top of his back, and part of the bullet went into the antler, right antler.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he went down on that shot, but he got back up, and he ran into another bluff, and I ran up there, and I could still see him, and I shot him in the shoulder. And he went down. I got down in there, and I could still see he was alive, so I shot him in the neck. And then I started shaking, and the guy hollering, "Did you get him? Did you get him?" And I said, "Yeah." So I came out, and, you know, I hadn't had a cigarette for 3 years, and I was shaking so bad, I said to one of the guys, "Give me a cigarette."
I can understand that, Milo. Folks, our guest is Mr. Milo Hansen. He's coming to us. He's way back up in Saskatchewan today. And Milo, we want to hear the rest of the story, but I know it's a long way, and we've got a pretty good reception. But what you've got to say is worth a little bit less than quality phone reception. But when you walked up on a deer, I think you told me that deer, that buck, was 29-inch spread. Is that right?
29 outside, 27 2/8 on the inside.
Wow.
So there was no ground shrink, you know. When I walked up to him, you know, I mean, that's about the same length as my legs. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I can only imagine walking up on a deer like that. I killed a deer, biggest outside spread. I did kill one time with a 21-inch outside spread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know, but spread, he wasn't the Milo Hansen buck. He had tines that were about eight inches long. This thing, tell us about the rack. Was it 6 points on one side? Or?
Yeah, he's a 6x8.
Yes.
There's two abnormal points on the right side, mm-hmm. and they're in 3 1/8 deductions off the score. His beams are 28 4/8.
Wow.
His right side G1 is 6 5/8, and the left side 6. His G2 is 12 4/8 on the right and 13 1/8 on the left. And the G3 is 13 6/8 on the right and 14 inches on the left. And the G, where am I here? The G4, I guess, is 11 4/8 and 11 5/8. And the G5 is 5 on one side and 7 on the other. And the circumferences were about average for up here. I think it was about 36 inches. Mm-hmm. And total deductions were 7 1/8.
That's so not a lot. Yeah, that's not a lot,
nope.
Really. Uh-huh.
No, not really. So he actually gross scored. I'm looking at the score sheet today.
Yeah.
I wasn't yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He's 220 6/8, and he measures out 213 5/8.
And that's a wild, free-ranging deer. That's amazing. We old deer hunters most of us live a lifetime and hunt a lifetime and never come close to one like that. But it's awesome. I know when you got your buddies all gathered. I think you told me that when you got him back home. There was a crowd that had gathered up there in Saskatchewan to look him over, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We brought him home, hung him up in our shop, and we ate our dinner in the shop. Usually, we'll eat it out in the you know, hunting area and make a campfire. But that day, we just brought him in and hung him up on a crane, and we're sitting looking at him and just couldn't believe the size of him. Not one of us ever thought a world record. We all thought, you know, got a good chance this year at our buck clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the other guys wanted to go out and hunt, and I still hit a doe tag. So we went out, and we met Gerald Malstravich, and I said, "You might as well go back to your own territory, because I just shot that buck." And he had been in there looking for that deer.
Mm-hmm.
So he looked in the back of the truck, and I said, "No, it's in my shop." So he said, "Can I go there?" And I said, "Sure." We went on, and he went to the shop, and then he went to town and told a bunch of people. We came home, and the yard was full of half tons and cars. And this continued forever, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, that was back in 1993, And I know that people still, you know, you're still telling the story. And I think, Milo, that you have, you know, replicas of that world record buck that people can track you down through Facebook, Milo Hanson, M-I-L-O-H-A-N-S-O-N. It's a good way to get a hold to reach you. But they could email you through Facebook or, you know, message you through Facebook.
Yeah. Message me through Facebook, yeah.
And you can give them all the details on that. But folks can get replicas, mounts of that buck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Well, do you still get a lot of, I'm sure a lot of people, there's a lot of young hunters, new hunters, that have never, they weren't around when you and I, when you kill that deer and when all the press, you know, hit the papers and the TV and all. But so there's a lot of people that are really just kind of hearing this story for the first time, I'll bet you.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I've met a lot of people, and they said they were 3 years old or four years old when I shot that deer.
Yeah, now they're up hunting. And
now they're adults up hunting, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the countryside up there, that farmland up in Saskatchewan, that's one of the reasons, I guess, Milo, that those old bucks get so big. And then the farther north you get, the bigger the body on these animals becomes.
That's right. Yeah. Our deer probably average, like this deer was only probably 200-pound deer,
mm-hmm.
and that's live weight. And up north, they can go to 350, eh? Yeah.
Yeah, what's probably the biggest body weight you've ever seen up there, live weight on a buck that's been taken? Just an estimate.
Probably 250 here, yeah, for a whitetail. You know, we get 350 mule deer.
Yes, sir. Now, from say for the border, the U.S. Canadian border there, how far up north are you? Where you live? Where you kill the deer?
We're about a 4.5-hour drive from the Montana border.
Okay, all right, right there. I got you on up north there. I've hunted North Dakota a whole lot, and you're right, the deer there probably very much like the deer where you're at. Because, you know, I've killed some bucks that probably weigh 230, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a free-ranging old buck like that down here in Texas, I'm not saying they don't get that big. They do, but they're not real prevalent. You know, that's just a big old deer wherever you get it. You know, Milo, we're just about running out of time for today's show. And, folks, again, our guest is Milo Hanson, and he has had the distinction of the person that has harvested the biggest Boone and Crockett whitetail typical buck ever that scored 213 and 5/8. You know, you're still hunting them, I bet you, Milo.
I still am, yeah. Well, still going out there.
Yeah,
never will get nothing even close to this, but I still like going out there, and I still get excited shooting a 140 deer. So.
Exactly. Well, that's a feat to get one that size, you know. It really is. Milo, thanks a lot, sir, for spending some time and sharing your story with us. I know that a lot of people are probably hearing it for the first time, and it'll inspire us to get out there and spend more time on the deer stands this fall.
Sure, yeah.
Well, we'll get you back again sometime and let you. I know you got, that's just probably scratching the surface on the story. We'll get you back soon. How about it?
Sure. Sounds good, Luke.
Well, folks, that pretty much wraps up our show today. I appreciate you being with us. Today's show has been made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. SnapLock Hunting Blinds. These blinds are lightweight, dry, and set up in minutes. The website is snaplockhuntingblinds.com. Sniper Hog Lights, that's Sniper, H-A-W-G, lights.com. The Raptor Razor, which is the tool I use for skinning and butchering game animals, that website is raptorazor.com. Night Sight, a unit that mounts on your scope and lights up the world at night for hunting hogs, that website is nightsightusa.com, nitesiteusa.com. Darton Archery, makers of compound bows and crossbows. That's dartonarchery.com. And, of course, Catfish Radio, where I do a weekly hour-long hunting and fishing show. That's catfishradio.com. Folks, tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.